This is John, and I perceived a great white throne, and him, capital H, who was sitting upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled, and no place was found for them. And I perceived the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Good morning. This is Martin Zender. I perceived the dead, says John, standing before the throne. You know how encouraging this should be to you concerning your loved ones who have died, who are not believers? They shall stand again. They're not standing now. Both my parents are dead. They had the audacity to die on me while I was still alive. And they will one day stand before a throne that is white, not black, before a throne that is great, not mediocre, and before a God who judges righteously and who never makes a mistake. What do I have to worry about? And right now, are my parents looking down on me? I hope not. They're probably saying, what are you doing in a laundry room? They don't know how great it is, but that's okay. No, they're not looking down on me. They're dead. It's just like they're asleep. They do not exist. So I don't have to worry about them, and they don't have to worry about me. But they will stand. And so God knows them. He has their hard drive somewhere. They're not conscious. They don't have a body. And the spirit is not united with the body. Whatever information is written on the spirit, their respective spirits that God has, it's not linked to a body. Therefore, there is no consciousness. They don't exist. I'm speaking of my own parents. So I can talk to you about your parents or your kids. Or I don't know, it's horrible when people die young. I hate it. The good die young, they say. Some bad people die young too. But anyway, it is so comforting to me to see how easy it is for God to raise the dead. It's all a matter of timing. Do you remember how I marveled at how God apprehends, or the messenger, at the behest of God, apprehends Satan and casts Satan into the submerged chaos? How easy it was. And it told me that because we didn't see any kind of fight or a struggle, it could have happened at any time. And yet, it's a timing thing. And so, God is perfectly aware of the timing of this great white throne and when the dead will stand. The dead that you know, the dead that you love, the dead that you can't wait to see again. And John perceived this. Do you know what this means? This means that John actually saw your loved ones. He perceived the dead. He perceived the dead, who are then no longer dead. And we know that John went into the day of the Lord. So John is not just seeing the future. He is going into the future. Therefore, he is actually looking at, he is actually perceiving your loved ones standing before the great white throne. That's how sure this thing is to happen. Because John went to a time when it has already happened. It's already happened when he's there. That's, to me, this is the next best thing you can get to having your parents, your dead parents, your dead children, your dead brothers or sisters knocking on the door of your home and walking in. How would you like that? Well, that's what happened to certain people, if I can go back here. That's what happened to certain people after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Many, there were 500 that came out of their tombs as a little flourish, as an added attraction to the resurrection of Christ. They came from their tombs. That'd be exciting. You get a knock on the door. Who is it? It's Harriet. What Harriet? Your Aunt Harriet. No, it can't be. Aunt Harriet died 10 years ago. Open the goddamn door. And there she is. Unbelievable. This happened to people, literally. Not to even speak of Lazarus or the widow of Nain's son, or the man Paul brought from the dead when he fell from that upper part of that room when Paul kept teaching until midnight. The guy fell down and died. He was so bored, and Paul raised him from the dead. See how easy it is to resurrect people. This is the beauty of the Great White Throne. And before, we've seen just isolated incidents of resurrection, but this is the greatest, the grandest, the most amazing resurrection you have ever beheld. You know who's going to be here? Let me think about this. I know what I'm going to say, but I have to think about if I actually want to say it. I have to make sure that I'm sure about this, and it won't take me long. Hang on. You may speak quietly among yourselves. Okay, I got it. Do you know who's going to be standing at the Great White Throne? Adam. The first man will be at the Great White Throne. You may counter very quickly. Martin, how can you say that? Because Adam, how can he not be part of the former resurrection? Well, as far as I can tell, the former resurrection is for Israelites and the proselytes of Israel. Was Adam an Israelite? No. Israelites did not exist until Jacob, who was renamed Israel, who was the father of the 12 tribes. Well, you could, and I think I will, you could trace it back, but no farther than this, to Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, yes, because God called Abraham. So let me retract that last statement. Certainly the 12 sons of Jacob are included, and the nomination came at this time, Israel, but Abraham was the forefather, and he was the one God called to form the nation. So yes, Abraham will be there. But anyone before Abraham, they're not in the kingdom. They're not in the 1,000-year kingdom. So they will remain dead for the 1,000 years. I think it was, let me forget that. I had a random thought there, but I don't think I want to put that out there just now. So anyone before Israel will not be in the 1,000-year kingdom. Does this mean they're being punished? No, because there were some very noble people. You may not think Adam is noble, but I like him. He couldn't help what he did. He's the father of us all. And so I honor that man, really. It was his wife's fault anyway. It was Eve's fault. She's the one that did it. Do you like the way Adam passes the buck? God said, Adam, what did you do? He says, well, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate of it. And God, instead of saying, quit passing the buck, take responsibility for your own actions, God said, that's a reasonable consideration. And then he turns to Eve. I love it. Eve, what have you done? And she passes the buck to the serpent. She said, well, the serpent. God then said, that sounds reasonable. So he turns to the serpent, and then he curses the serpent, and the serpent is forced to crawl on the ground. Just great. I love it how modern psychology tells you to take responsibility for your own actions, and in a measure, this is true. You ought to do that, but there is another very real sense in which we're all victims. You know, I mean, I don't believe in living in the victim mentality. You have to overcome that, make your own reality, but it's so fun when you can look back and say, wasn't me, man. Come on, I was forced into this by this crazy person. Sure enough, God acknowledges it. Adam says, this crazy person you gave me. And, okay, lady, what do you have to say for yourself? Well, the serpent, well, fair enough. God turns to the serpent. I put you on the ground. I love that. So I like my progenitor, Adam, and he is going to stand at the Great White Throne, and he himself is going to be judged. Now, this is a bit premature, but I will tell you that I have a major disagreement with A.E. Nock here. I'll go ahead and say it. I was going to talk about judgment today. Apparently, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about Adam, who to me is representative of all the good people. I mean, all right, he made one little mistake. It wasn't even his mistake. Well, yeah, he takes, but God holds him responsible. As an Adam, all are dying. God could have said, as in Eve, all are dying, or as in the serpent, all are dying. But Adam was responsible for his family. Men, you are responsible for your families. If your wives screw up, God's going to look at you. Why did you screw up? And you're going to say, I didn't screw up. My wife screwed up. And God's going to say, no, you screwed up. Why aren't you the head of your home? Why aren't you the head of your home? Yes, you should defer to your woman as much as possible. But there are times when you must say to that woman, woman, God has put me at the head of this home, as unqualified as I sometimes am. And this is our course. This must be our course. So as an Adam, all are dying. Oh, by the way, Eve is also going to be at the great white throne. Adam and Eve reunited again. Who died first? Was it Eve or Adam? I don't know, and I don't care right now, but Eve and Adam are both going to be standing there before God with some great people. I mean, their whole family. Everybody who ever lived. But of course, I think Adam will rise to the top of the heap. Won't I like to be in on that judgment? And I will be. You will be too. And so, what is the judgment based on at the great white throne? It's certainly not based on belief in Christ. No, we will see that everyone at the great white throne is judged according to their acts, according to what they have done, according to what they have put into practice in this life, things whether good or bad. So my disagreement with A. Enoch is this. A. Enoch, again, the author of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, the book published by the Concordant Publishing Concern, he says that everyone at the great white throne goes to the second death. There is a book of life that is consulted at this time. And to me, it's a sham to even bring out such a book if every single person in the book, or should I say, if there's no one listed in the book. Why bring out this book if there's no one there? If everyone's just going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so I believe that there are many good people who nevertheless weren't Israelites, who nevertheless never had a chance to believe in Jesus because Jesus had not been born yet, who will be transferred alive onto the new earth, not as immortals, but as mortals. No, not as immortals, because there are only three times that people are made immortal. And I reviewed this for you earlier. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Christ, the first fruit. He's the only one now who has immortality. Everybody else is dead. D-E-D, dead. I know I was missing a vowel there. I meant to miss it. Now, Christ the first fruit. Thereupon, those who are Christ in his presence. Phase two, those who are Christ in his presence. Who is that? That is us at the snatching away prior to Israel, but it is also Israel at his presence to them. Christ has a secret presence to us. Thereafter, the consummation. What happens at the consummation? That's when death is abolished. Everybody is given immortality at the consummation. But we're considering the great white throne, which is not the consummation. I remind you to place the great white throne into the timetable. The great white throne judgment, at the time that all of the dead, great and the small, rise, this takes place at the juncture between eons 4 and 5. The millennium has already run its course. It's in the history books. The millennium is in the history books. How exciting is that? And the new heavens and new earth is right on the horizon. But in the interval, when heaven and earth have fled, we have this amazing resurrection. That's the main point today, is that resurrection is so easy for God to do, and that John saw your loved ones. And your hated ones as well. He saw your hated ones. They will be standing there as well. Can you imagine? All the dead. Some people are telling you that this resurrection is only for Israel. What? Where do they get that? I see the dead, the great, and the small. Show me at what other place the dead are raised to be judged before the consummation. You can't. And if, as Christianity tells us, the wonderful, beautiful, happy, hopeful religion of Christianity, they tell us that everyone is going to rise to the great white throne. They sort of agree with that. But they believe that the lake of fire, which is the second death, is eternal torment. They believe that the lake of fire is hell. Can you believe that? Can you believe that carelessness? That's the lake of fire. If it was hell, it would say Hades here, which has been commonly translated hell. Or it would say Gehenna. But instead it says lake of fire. Lake of fire is not hell. So this is not eternal torment. But that's what they tell you that it is. So the question is, why would God raise anyone at the great white throne? It's a sham. Why judge them if they all have a common destiny? Common destiny being eternal torment. Why judge them? It's ridiculous. And then some Christians will say, well, they've been being eternally tormented ever since they died, which is BS. That stands for bullshit. It's BS because we know that the dead are dead. No, I guess we do, but not everybody does. They think that the dead are now alive in some kind of halfway house, in a prison cell, in a holding chamber, waiting to rejoin with their bodies when they will be at the great white throne. No, they're dead. Nobody's waiting for the great white throne because they're not even going to know there is a great white throne until they're standing before it. Miraculously, the moment of their death will seem to them like the moment of their resurrection. I love the great white throne. I love that death is no problem for God. That's the key thing here. And I love that John saw my loved ones, assuming that my loved ones aren't believers. My dad could have been a believer, I think. My mom, no. My mom died a staunch Catholic. I'm pretty sure about that. My dad, I talked to him before he died, and I think he got it. We'll see. Am I in great suspense? Do I stay up nights worrying about this? Did I say enough? What did I do? Did I do something wrong? No, I don't, because I know that these things are in God's hands, and He is a loving God. The throne is white. God is a righteous judge, and He will take good care not only of our loved ones, but our hated ones, because loved ones and hated ones all fall under the common denomination of sons of Adam, and because they have been condemned under the curse of Adam, they will be justified under the great blessing of the death and resurrection of Christ.